more than a dozen large wildfires are still burning in California, charring at least 320,000 acres and displacing 32,000 residents so far. Meanwhile, a heat wave continues across much of Europe. Temperatures as high as 118 degrees Fahrenheit are expected in southwestern Spain tomorrow. We'll see if 2018 eclipses 2017, which was the third warmest year ever recorded, behind 2016 and 2015. Michael Mann joins us now. He's director of the Earth System Science Center at Penn State University. Professor, welcome back.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
And when you hear about all of those extreme weather events that are going on, can you make a direct link between those and climate change?
In a sense, yes. They're all interconnected. What we're seeing right now across the Northern Hemisphere is extreme weather in the form of unprecedented heat waves, droughts, floods, wildfires. In isolation, it might seem like any one of these things could be dismissed as an anomaly, but it's the interconnectedness of all these events and their extreme nature that tells us that we are now seeing the face of climate change. The impacts of climate change are no longer subtle. We are seeing them play out in real time in the form of unprecedented and dangerous weather events.
But I must say, when I've done interviews about extreme weather events with meteorologists, with scientists, and I ask them, is this hurricane climate change? They're very careful not to say, well, they would say, well, we can't say that this one is in particular, but when we see, when you look at the big picture, yes, it probably is part of a trend. Should scientists and meteorologists be more specific and say, yes, each one of these things is a result of climate change?
Yeah, it's sort of answering the wrong question. When we frame the issue in terms of was this event caused by climate change, that's not the right question. The question is, was this event made more extreme by climate change? And that we can conclude with some certainty because there's basic physics that's operating here. A warmer atmosphere holds more moisture. That means when you get rainfall, you get more of it in short bursts. As you bake the ground with sun and heat, you're going to get worse drought. As you warm up the planet, obviously, heat extremes become more common. And now there are some subtleties here as well, because part of what has made this July so unusual is not just the extreme nature of these events, but their persistence. The same weather system sticks around day after day, so you continue to get dumped on by rain like we are here in central Pennsylvania, or you continue to be baked by heat like California right now. That pattern in the jet stream, that is favored by climate change. And our own work has shown that the melting of ice in the Arctic is changing temperature patterns in a way that is impacting the Northern Hemisphere jet stream, causing larger waves, larger meanders, which gives you more extremes.
And climate scientists and others are saying the world has to do something about this or it's going to get even worse. But there's an article in New York Magazine called How Did the End of the World Become Old News? And in it, the writer Davis Wallace Wells writes, the major networks aired 127 segments on the unprecedented July heat wave. Media Matters usefully tabulated and only one so much as mentioned climate change. What do you make of that? Do reporters, do journalists have to continually say this is climate change, this is climate change, or are we losing sight of what's going on?
Yeah, and let me preface my comments here by saying there's some shining counterexamples like NPR and WBUR. There are media outlets and there are journalists who are helping us connect the dots. But too often, you know, in sort of our mainstream media, network news coverage, cable news, they're not connecting the dots and explaining that this isn't just a random event. It's part of a coherent, larger pattern which is being impacted, which is being influenced, which is being made more frequent and more intense by climate change. That's a huge lost opportunity because this is the face of climate change. And we have to understand it's not just about polar bears up in the Arctic. It's about extreme, damaging weather events that we are experiencing now in real time.
I want to say one more thing, which is that we just did an interview the other day about some of the extreme weather going on. We did not, in the four-minute conversation, even though we talked about the fires in Greece and we talked about the fires in California and we talked about the wet weather in the east coast of this country, we did not make a direct link to climate change. And somebody wrote to me and said, you're part of a mass conspiracy to not talk about climate change. I assure you, nothing could be further from the truth. But, you know, does it need to be brought up in every conversation, do you think?
Yeah, shame on you. No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry.
No, you know, it's easy to forget that context because we live in the here and now and in the moment, especially in, you know, in the, you know, the rapid pace of the news cycle, we lose sight of the larger context. It doesn't mean we have to talk about climate change every time we talk about the weather. But when there's something unusual enough that it does call into question, you know, why is this happening? There's, you know, a huge learning opportunity for your audience in bringing that climate context into the conversation. And if we leave it out, then it is a lost opportunity.
That's Michael Mann, a distinguished professor of atmospheric science and director of the Earth System Science Center at Penn State. Professor Mann, thanks as always.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.